The text is Mark 7, 31 to 37. The introit tells us it's good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name. In 1972, the Doobie Brothers admonished us to listen to the music. Well, I don't want rock and roll in church. I can't help but hear it when I'm listening to the music made in Jesus' name by this text. I start out hearing Jesus is just all right. That was written in 65, and at that time, all right was something very cool, a good, positive comment. But by the time the Doobie Brothers recorded it in the 70s, that's not how I heard it. I thought they were singing Jesus was just meh to them. That's the attitude I find towards Jesus expressed by the people of the Decapolis. They carried to Jesus a man who was incommunicado. He is deaf and anywhere from unable to speak to tongue-tied by a speech impediment. And the people of this non-Jewish league of 10 cities begged Jesus to place his hand on him. The Decapolis was formed about 100 years before when the Romans invaded the land. It was an alliance of 10 cities formed for a common trade interest. History knows all about this place. But what's more important is that this place knew a lot about Jesus. Two chapters earlier, we read, "And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled." Well, who's that he? Well, that's the healed Gerasene demoniac, the guy with the legion of demons in him, who lived among the tombs, and had superhuman strength like Hulk, so that even chains couldn't hold him. The guy Jesus cast about 2,000 demons from and sent into pigs who were driven by the demons down the hill and drowned themselves. That's who the he is. In that account, the healed man begged, same Greek word used here, Jesus to take him along. But the people of the Decapolis begged, same word, Jesus to leave their region. Jesus does go, but he leaves that healed demoniac behind as a witness to all the Decapolis. They know all about Jesus' power, particularly the power of his word. He had freed that demoniac by just words. Here, however, they carry this guy to Jesus and asked for Jesus to place his hand on him. They, who had wanted Jesus to leave this area, but now that he's back, they know that he has some sort of power and has compassion for people who no one else can help. As they begged him to leave, now they beg him to help. Jesus is just all right with them. And with me too. I want Jesus around sometimes, don't you? But sometimes I don't. He's all right if he's answering my prayer the way I want him to, protecting my life the way I want him to, and doing more or less what I expect him to do. But when he doesn't do what I want or expect, well, that's not all right. Yes, I expect that on the last day, Jesus is going to say, "Well done to me for having finished my course in the faith." But all I can manage now in the face of political, societal, and medical upheavals is to tell Jesus, "You're all right." But then I hear another song coming from our text, "Jesus Christ Superstar." I hear the swelling grandeur. I see Jesus at last appearing to the crowd as he really is. He does everything beautifully. He does the impossible of making the deaf hear and the mute speak. I remember seeing a live performance of Jesus Christ Superstar, and it came close to making me what at that time was called a Jesus freak. Today it'd be called the emergent church, or certain flavors of non-denominationalism, or charismatic. All of these have Jesus Christ Superstar as their theme song. Jesus' power and glory are front and center to them. Contrast that with Graham Greene's 1940 novel, The Power and the Glory. The novel is set in 1920s Mexico during the persecution of Catholicism. A priest is traveling around the countryside with his communion kit. He's revered by the peasants for having the Almighty God, who is much more than just all right, for having the Almighty God in that box. Really? It looks like nothing more than bread and wine and not at all like Jesus Christ Superstar. And it's the Superstar Jesus who is for me and for the people of the Decapolis, evidently. Jesus had specifically charged the healed demoniac earlier to tell what the Lord did for him and how he had mercied him. Look what the people blown away by Jesus Christ Superstar told. They are commanded not to tell anyone, but they tell everyone. And it's not comical that the more Jesus commanded them not to, the more they kept talking about it. It's not funny when the more you tell your child not to do something, the more they do it. You don't laugh, do you? Neither does Jesus. And note, they don't mention the Lord or his mercy, just what Jesus did. Easter is always a bigger Sunday than the first Sunday in Lent. Oh, and Ash Wednesday, well, that might be a big day. But 40 days of focusing on Jesus of the cross and why he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, well, that's a little much. People will listen even today how Jesus opened the mouths of the mute and the ears of the deaf. But they do not want to hear or speak of how in our sins and sinfulness we are blind, dead enemies of God. We don't want to hear the truth about our sins or speak the truth about what it took to redeem us, lost and condemned creatures. God the Son taking on our flesh and blood to do Jesus Christ Superstar things, well, that's cool. But him taking on our flesh and blood so that he might take our place under God's laws and suffer, sigh, bleed, and die because we break those laws, well, that's just too much of a downer. What with all the bad news going on today? So I start hearing, Jesus is just all right with me, and I get swept up in Jesus Christ Superstar. But then I finally get to Petula Clark, a sign of the times. At seminary, the professor in charge of ministry to the deaf, he preached on this text in chapel, and I still remember it. Actually, not so much what he said, but how he demonstrated Jesus' actions to this man who could not hear who he was and what he was going to do. That's right, by means of signs, Jesus conveyed to this man his person and work. Jesus takes the man away from the crowd. He puts his fingers in both ears. Then Jesus spits, and he touches his tongue, or spits and touches the man's tongue with his spit. Commentators go both ways. Grammar tells us it's not important. Spitting is participle. Touch, that's the main verb. Looking up into heaven is also a participle. The sigh, the groan, that's the main verb here. Stenazo is what Paul says in Romans 8, we do while waiting for our adoption as sons to go through. In 1 Corinthians 5, stenazo is what we do in this old tent as we are waiting for it to be torn down and our mortal coil to be swallowed by immortality. And stenazo is what Hebrews 13 says you don't want your pastor to do as he gives an account of your soul. But you do want to hear Jesus stenazo for you as he did for this deaf and dumb man. However, it's bigger than Jesus, isn't it? Jesus gives a sign of the times to this man who cannot be instructed with words. Jesus gives a sign that all of heaven in his person groans with him over his infirmities. The professor that did the sermon thought Jesus had pulled the man in close, so though he couldn't have heard him groan, he could have felt it. I've told you of sitting on the lap of my first grade teacher in Lutheran school. When the PA announced that President Kennedy had been assassinated, I didn't understand that. But I did understand that my teacher's body heaved. And then I looked at her face, I saw a tear run down her cheek. And this man, after Jesus touched his ears and tongues, after he spit and looked to heaven, he could know by that felt groan that God in heaven, through the man Jesus, groaned with him. Think that's too much? Hear 4th century church father Ephraim the Syrian. The power which may not be handled came down and clothed itself in members that may be touched, that the needy may draw near to him, that in touching his manhood they may discern his Godhead. For the dumb man whom the Lord healed discerned that he touched the Godhead that may not be touched. We're not to wonder what the invisible God thinks about what's going on in our world today. We don't want to stare at that light unapproachable and draw conclusions from the blinding glare. We don't want to seek our warmth and comfort from the God who is a consuming fire as if he were a campfire or a hearth. Since no man has seen God at any time, we turn to the only begotten God in the lap of the Father who explains him, who puts the language of divinity into the words of humanity, who opens our human ears to hear divine things. You want signs for these times? The man Jesus gives you them. He says he has compassion for sheep without shepherds. He says, when you're perplexed by what the invisible God is or isn't doing in this fallen world, you can look to him. Hear him weeping over those who rejected him. Hear that he is unwilling to snuff even a smoldering faith. Hear that he doesn't lift his voice in the street. Hear that he opens ears to hear the impossible thing. In our text, the fingers and the ears, on the tongue, the spitting, the looking to heaven, and even the groaning, they're not the miracle. The word Ephratha, be open, that's the miracle. That's Aramaic. That was the man's own language. He hears it. That's impossible, you know. He's deaf. But just as Lazarus, dead to the world, hears Jesus bellow, Lazarus, come forth. So the deaf man hears the word of Jesus because it has the power to do what it says. And you hear the words of Jesus too. You come in here burdened with sin and sinfulness, staggering under loads too big to carry or even know. And Jesus speaks forgiveness, and your sins are sent away before God in heaven by a word spoken here on earth. You come in here sweaty and grimy with a life in a fallen world, and the water and blood that flowed from Jesus' side 2,000 years ago is there in that baptismal font for sinners to plunge into and lose all their guilty stains. And talk about words doing the impossible. Jesus brings heaven to earth in his body and blood in communion. Hear all that Jesus did for sinners when he walked the earth, he does for you. In this meal, he groans for you, he heals you, he forgives you, he saves you. No wonder we sing before, during, and after this meal. Listen to that music. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.